This is More Financial Talk with Ryan Moore from Retirement Solutions Group. You need a financial strategy that accounts for challenges like market volatility and inflation, and that also adequately prepares you for retirement. The purpose of More Financial Talk is to address common financial concerns, provide helpful strategies, and offer ways you may be able to achieve your financial goals. And now here's More Financial Talk. Keep more in your pocket.
Welcome to More Financial Talk. I'm Ryan Moore, and with me today is co-host Tony Shore. How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing great. Like you, I've been crazy busy. Just got out of one recording, jumping in here because I didn't want to miss this one. You've got an amazing guest for us, but I've been great. I'm going to see you there soon. I'm going to be down there for my birthday in Brentwood, hopefully see you and hang out a little bit. How have you been, Ryan?
Yeah, doing well. Just trying to, toggle with the weather around here, the up and down temperatures, yep, and getting through a little of the sniffles and all the fun stuff that this time of year brings. But hopefully we're getting through our last cold snap and can get on with spring, which is my favorite time of year. So,
yeah.
But I know we got a lot to cover today and super excited to have Becky in here with us today. So I'll let you bring her in, Tony.
Yeah, well, we've got Becky Swansburg. Becky, give your brief background for our listeners out there. You've been on the show before. I've talked to you a couple of times, but let our listeners know about your background.
Yeah, I like to say I'm a reformed Capitol Hill junkie. Don't hold all the government against me today. But that's really where I spent my early career. Was I worked in the White House under George W. Bush, and then on Capitol Hill for the Speaker of the House and a couple members of Congress. So I'm really passionate about helping our listeners figure out what is happening in Washington and what they need to do to prepare. And Ryan, I know that's what you all talk about day in and day out.
Absolutely. Well, we're super excited to have you back. We had you on last year right after the big tax bill passed. And in fact, you're one of our most watched podcasts. So you bring a lot of attention. And so for that, we are honored to have you back. You know, we do kind of consider you, Becky, as our DC insider, and I know you really like to nerd out on this stuff. So excited to kind of hit some of the topics of today. Also, just want to share kudos to you and your team. We attended a conference that Stonewood put on back in the end of February in Louisville, brought a couple of my team members with me, and there was just a ton of good insights and a lot of valuable nuggets. And we just really do appreciate what you do and how you empower us with the right information to convey to our clients that ultimately benefits them and their lifestyle. So before we jump in, though, you want to share kind of how Stonewood evolved and what the focus of your firm is today?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. All of my time on Capitol Hill, I just kept feeling this recurring theme. And the theme was that we were passing all this legislation that really was directly impacting people like my parents and my friends and family back at home. And it's like most American savers don't know how to connect that dotted line between all this legislation that's going on in the Capitol and what it actually means for them and their savings and their retirement assets. Mm-hmm. And so at Stonewood, what we are really trying to do is through clearly forward-thinking advisors like you, help U.S. savers uncover the risks that are present in today's legislative environment, quantify those risks in real dollars and cents to their retirement approach. And of course, Ryan, with you and your team's help, address those risks so that in retirement, they're not constantly having to watch Fox News and CNN and see what's being passed in the Capitol and how it might impact them.
Yeah, like I said, we're grateful for what you do. You bring a lot of resources to the table that does directly help to translate to, you know, people's financial affairs and how we can ultimately confront some of the issues that most Americans are facing. So, yeah. So when we had you on last, it was right after the big tax bill passed. Yep. And, you know, there was a lot to chew on over that. And, you know, as we're heading into tax time right now, a lot of the impact of that is upon us. Yeah. But I want to specifically talk about, you know, the nature of the bill that passed as it relates to tax codes, where, you know, mm-hmm, it was a permanent, quote unquote, let me do some air quotes here, permanent, law that was passed in. And I know you have an opinion on, at least historically, what the permanent nature is of these tax codes that are upon us presently.
Yeah. So let's talk first. I think the two biggest pieces of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that we sometimes call OBA, that probably is impacting listeners today. So the first is actually a new tax credit for seniors age 65 plus. And the idea with this new tax deduction for you is that that deduction is intended to offset the taxes that you pay on your Social Security benefit. So that's $6,000 per person, up to $12,000 per couple. It is a limited time offer. That one is only good through 2029. But if you are age 65 plus, starting in the 2025 tax year, so starting last year retroactively, you have this new tax deduction and it will lower your taxes. What I love about this new deduction is, even though it's made to offset Social Security taxes, you don't actually have to be on Social Security to get it. So as long as you are 65 or older during that tax year, you will get this new deduction. So that is very exciting. The other big piece of OBA that is going to be really felt as we approach tax season here, that is what you mentioned, Ryan, that they have made the Trump tax cuts, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act from 2019, the lower tax bracket rates that were set to expire at the end of 2025 are now permanent. Now, of course, you mentioned air quotes. Congress has a very different dictionary than perhaps all of us use in our day to day. When I hear permanent, I think forever. Permanent tattoo is never coming off my arm, right? My kid writes on the couch in permanent marker. That couch is ruined. When Congress says permanent, what they really mean is that these lower tax bracket rates will not automatically rise in the future. But Congress can vote in higher rates at any time. And, you know, I think this is what you were referencing. We were talking a little at the conference. When we take a historical look at how long low tax bracket rate environments in America last. So I did an analysis. I went all the way back to the Kennedy tax cuts in the 60s. I don't know if any of our listeners were kind of beneficiaries of that, but those are kind of considered the first modern tax cuts. If we look at low tax bracket rate environments since the 60s, they last an average of about 12 years. Normally, we get about 12 years of lower tax bracket rates. Well, we are currently in year 9 of today's low tax rate environment. So if history is our guide, I do think with OBA, we have a few more good years of these lower bracket rates. But I do feel that over time, those rates are going to rise back up. And this is why it's important for savers, especially savers approaching retirement, to really this year make sure all of their assets are in order. Because when we're thinking about retirement, this is not just the next 4 to 6 years of taxes. We've got to really look at taxes 10, 20, 30, 40 years for some listeners, even in the future. And over time, we truly believe that those rates are going to rise. Now's the time to prepare because OBA has our tax rates low today.
Right. So I think one of the key takeaways was it's not about political persuasion or which side of the aisle that you're on. We just have to, you know, come to the realization that, you know, there's an election every 2 years. And so for that reason, change is inevitable. And with that, it can be a moving target. And so we need to be able to control the things that we can control. And ultimately, when we look out ahead, taxes are on sale right now. And so we can lend a blind eye to the situation and be more reactive, or we can educate ourselves and confront the inevitable and be more proactive. And that's a message I try to get across to the folks that listen to me and work with me. So I appreciate your take on that. Now, moving on here a little bit, one of the other huge real eye openers was at the conference that we dug into was IRMA.
Oh, yes.
Which is the income related monthly adjustment amount. Now, this is a topic that comes up pretty regularly with my clients. I know it relates to Medicare, but it can ultimately impact most families at one time or another. So I would really like to get some time focusing on this topic while we got you here today. Wow. And start with, you know, when did IRMA begin and, you know, why?
Yeah.
Are we talking about my Aunt Irma?
You know,
because Uncle Sam and Aunt Irma are not the good aunt and uncle. Yeah, she's the right, mean. Tony. She's the mean aunt, right?
I hate to tell you, Aunt Irma is not baking you cookies.
Yeah,
this is
right.
Not someone
that's
coming
right.
To your soccer games and supporting you in life.
Right.
Yeah. IRMA, I think, is a really important topic, both because of how it can impact savers in retirement, but also because I think it represents kind of the future of taxation in this country. And the reason a lot of listeners probably haven't heard of IRMA is because it was kind of stealthily introduced into America. And it is a way that the government can generate additional revenue without ever touching your tax bracket rates. So, you know, Ryan, as you mentioned, IRMA is this additional surcharge that some savers pay based on income on top of their Medicare premiums for their Medicare benefits. So it's essentially an additional tax. It was actually passed in 2003 as part of the Medicare Modernization Act. And the idea was just, we needed more money for the program and more money for the trust funds. And here was a unique way to get it. So basically, IRMA has its own calculation for your modified adjusted gross income. And if you meet certain levels, suddenly surprise, when you go to take Medicare on top of your premiums, you get charged this additional fee. And one of the things that I think is so interesting about IRMA is not just that they introduced this new kind of taxation, but that it has continued to go up, 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 up every year. And I think the reason it's continued to go up is because it's been really effective. So IRMA fees started in 2007. The first, you know, the first couple of years of any government program, they're trying to kind of match rates to revenue that they're trying to generate. So I generally look at 2012 as the first kind of current IRMA year of the modern program. Since that time, IRMA's increased an average of almost 5% every year at the lowest bracket rate. Last year, we saw a 9.1% increase from 2025 coming into 2026. So a lot of listeners, when you go to file your, you get on Medicare, it's like this great moment, but all of a sudden you're hit with this additional tax that you didn't know was coming. The other time that a lot of savers get hit with this tax is in retirement when your spouse passes away. It is possible that at a joint rate, you all did not qualify for IRMA, but now that you're a single filer, you do. So there are a couple times coming up where suddenly big bad Aunt Irma comes and she's taking a lot of your money. It's significant. And I don't see it going away anytime soon because it works. The only major government health-based trust funds that are currently in stable financial position today are the ones being fed by IRMA and Medicare premiums. And it's because as the needs increase, they can just increase rates. And that's what they've done almost every single year since IRMA has been introduced. And unlike taxes, it doesn't take an act of Congress. Nobody ever has to vote for an IRMA increase. They basically look at some CPI measures at the Consumer Price Index, and then they look at the needs of the program, which, as we all know, is high, and then they just declare a rate. And that is the rate that we all end up paying. So, Ryan, I agree. I think it's a really important area for listeners to understand that as we're looking at where we position your assets in retirement, we're not just trying to minimize the taxes you pay, but also these additional IRMA fees. And I think it's really important because for some reason or another, when the government calculates your modified adjusted gross income for IRMA, do you know what does not count towards those calculations? A lot of kinds of tax-free income. So if you have a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k or cash value life insurance that you're using for tax-free income in retirement, none of those sources are counting towards whether or not you get hit with IRMA. So I think when we talk tax diversification, we're also really talking IRMA diversification on top of that.
Yeah. And I think that's where the planning comes in. And, you know, what is eye opening and it should be, you know, be made aware of is that it's kind of us against DC in a lot of ways, right? They're coming after our dollars. They're in desperate need of, you know, tax revenue based on the fiscal condition of our country. Look at the national debt, the struggling entitlement programs, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. And so it's not just as simple as them changing the tax brackets. There's, like you said, stealthier ways for them to get after our money, so to speak. And with that, it could be, you know, the SECURE Act, the rule they passed years ago as it relates to passing on your IRAs to your beneficiaries, or this IRMA effect. And you mentioned it, the widow's tax. And so there could be ways to try to stay under that IRMA impact when you're a married couple filing jointly. But once one spouse passes and you're still living on relatively similar amount of resources, you're now in a single filer tax bracket, which really puts you in the crosshairs of this IRMA effect. And so when we want to confront this issue, you know, you kind of touched on it, whether it's tax planning through Roth IRAs or cash value life insurance. The concern I have with some folks there is when you're doing that, and most good savers really contributed mostly to IRAs and 401ks, 403bs, the bulk of their retirement accounts are in these deferred buckets, which when you're confronting this issue by way of things like Roth conversions, you have to take, you know, you have to pay the taxes when you convert, yeah, which elevates the overall income, which can increase the IRMA impact. So it's kind of like paying now to avoid later, but maybe we could touch on that a little bit. Sometimes I say, you know, we can't be nearsighted and we don't want to be tripping over nickels and dimes to get to the bigger money. So, but that's, you know, a mental hurdle for many because they're feeling the impact of this planning now and, you know, not really looking at the bigger picture. And so with that, there are tools that we can use to try to look at the math. You know, with all due respect, it's not the world according to me or Becky, right? So we want to let the numbers talk and the math speak.
Sure.
But Becky, maybe you can just speak to, you know, the benefits of doing some of this planning now and how it can ultimately help you further down the road from a bigger picture perspective.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when people will say to me, what do you think is the number one impact of OBA, of this one big beautiful bill? I've often said the era of the do-it-yourself Roth conversion is dead, because it has given us a lot of opportunities, but it's also made a lot more moving parts that we're trying to balance as we move funds and the tax status of those funds. So what I think is so interesting about this opportunity is always with regarding retirement assets. I am, when I'm doing every year my tax outlook and what am I looking at, I'm always taking that short-term 4 to 6 year outlook and that long-term 10 to 20 year outlook. We right now, this year, are in this incredibly unique situation that we have not seen in my lifetime so far, where we have a very optimal short-term outlook where tax rates are being held low by OBA. And that gives us the opportunity to prepare for a very unfavorable longer-term tax outlook, where we look at things like the debt, currently over $38 trillion, annual deficits that we're running, pressures, demographic pressures on Medicare and Medicaid, it becomes very clear that over the long term, taxes are going to rise. Long-term taxes are actually the only thing we really care about for retirement assets, but short-term tax environment is the only time we have to plan for it. So we have this unique opportunity to plan and leverage today's lower rates to prepare and protect for what's coming. And that means, and the reason I say that I think Roth conversions have gotten a little complex in this is we are now trying to minimize taxes and IRMA during the conversion years while maintaining this new tax deduction for seniors age 65 plus, while also balancing maximizing how much tax and IRMA savings we have in the future. And Ryan, I know these are the kind of analyses that you run for clients all the time in your practice. And I would really say to listeners, if you have not had a high level analysis run, it's not just, is it a good idea to convert assets right now? It's also a question of how do we convert those assets? Do we do it over 3 years or 5 years or 7 years? Because all of those little decisions can have big swings in terms of taxes paid today and taxes and IRMA saved in the future.
And everybody's situation is different, 100%. Right? So it's going to vary from person to person, but you do need to be looking at it and have those reports run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oftentimes I say, you know, it's confronting the storm, right? Where nobody's guaranteed perfect in life. And so it's how you confront the storm, how you handle the storm. But essentially, it could result in some short term pain to have long term efficiency and essentially more freedom from your partner in these accounts, which is where we get into legislative risk, where we're susceptible to ever changing, you know, rules, laws, and tax codes.
Yeah.
So Becky, two of the main tools that we really love about what you bring to the table with your organization, one is called the Retirement Tax Bill Calculator. I think that's more of a easy number crunch based on the software, of course, where we can just look at some projections in terms of the amount of money that we have in the deferred buckets, you know, at what tax rate do we want to assume? And do we want to assume rising taxes in relation to if we're going to do conversions, how many years do we want to convert and by how much? And then we can look at some side-to-side comparisons on what the life of our tax bill would look like if we do no planning as opposed to, you know, confronting it and getting through the process and through the storm, and how that will impact, you know, each side of the equation. But I think one of the big tools that's a little bit more granular is the Roth Done Right software, which is the big takeaway that we got from the conference and been utilizing some of your help at Stonewood for, to help us really wrap our head around it. So, you know, anytime I'm going to present something, I want to know how the watch is built, right? That's just who I am. I need to know exactly what the numbers are saying and why, and that way I can present it in a clear manner so that other people can understand it. And I try to do that on a level that is understandable. And so when we look at the Roth Done Right report or analysis, that's where it does incorporate Irma into some of the projections, which will also, you know, assume that if you don't do any planning, once again, how Irma would impact you, and then the impact of Irma if you do confront some of these issues more proactively. So maybe you could just, you know, touch briefly on some of these tools that your organization has created and why they're so valuable to the advisor community.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So often, and I think we heard this a lot during the Biden administration, during some past administrations, there's this idea that when taxes come, they're going to tax the rich and the rich and the rich. And when they say tax the rich, I think most people think, oh, the Elon Musks of the world, the, you know, Steve Jobs of the world, these kind of billionaires.
Right.
But the vast majority of all U.S. income tax revenue comes from, I think, probably most of the listeners on this call, American households where individuals make $100,000 a year above. So any six-figure household pays almost 90% of all income taxes. So wow. I bring this up because, you know, I think a lot of times when people think about layering onto their retirement approach, this kind of tax layer, that it's not just about what the markets might do and how much income they can generate, but it's actually about after tax, how much income they get to keep. It's not just a problem for the ultra, ultra wealthy. It is a problem for so many of the people that you and I interact with every single day. And the key is that we have to be able to balance the two sides of the equation. We have to make sure that as we're analyzing converting, if we're going to take IRA and convert it into a Roth IRA, when we're changing that tax status, how do we minimize the taxes we pay during that conversion and maximize the tax savings throughout the rest of the time in retirement? And that's why we created the Roth Done Right software, is to analyze year by year different kinds of scenarios so that we can optimize what's the best path forward. And, you know, it's not always a one-on-one. I was talking to a client the other day that felt like, I'd rather just get this conversion over faster, even if it's not the most optimal pattern, because I don't know when taxes are going to change. I just want to get it done. Mm-hmm. The goal is that it's a conversation opener so that you can see for the first time the real retirement tax bill that is coming for you. One of the hardest things with taxes is how many of us listening on this call have ever had someone say, hey, based on your current retirement approach, here's what your tax bill is going to be in the future. Big piece of that, Ryan, is giving them that tax bill for the first time and letting them kind of come to terms with what it could be if they continue the path they're on, and what it could be if we make some of these adjustments we've been discussing.
Yeah, I think for many, it's going to be a mental hurdle, but we just have to warm up to the idea of it. If that's the way you save, then inevitably you're going to pay your partner at some point along the way. And, you know, I've been saying it more lately. It's not what you save, it's what you keep.
That's right.
One thing I've been saying for a long time is failing to plan is planning to fail, from Ben Franklin. So it's just about, you know, confronting it, having a plan and doing the work and looking at the math, and then, you know, customizing a plan for each and every individual that's willing to take a look at this. So, Becky, I can't thank you enough for your intellect, your experience at this, and the tremendous partnership that we have with you. We've been working with your group for years and look forward to years ahead. So I just really commend you for the mission that you're on, and can't thank you enough once again.
Well, I always love being on, and I really appreciate the work that you guys are doing to help Americans prepare for this. I will say this year, this is the year to get serious about at least understanding and evaluating the tax status of your retirement accounts, because if there are adjustments to be made, we have this limited time window, and we are in a really favorable tax environment today.
Let's get after it. That's right.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, before we go, Ryan, let our listeners know how they can get a hold of you if they have questions.
Absolutely. You can call us directly at area code 615-467-6300. You can email our office at info@rsgtn.com or simply check out our website and our retirement tax bill calculator that's on our site. And that is rsgtn.com. Thank you much.
All right. Well, thank you so much to our very special guest, Becky Swansburg of Stonewood Financial. And of course, our host, the man himself, Ryan Moore. That does it for today's episode of More Financial Talk.
Thank you for joining us for More Financial Talk. Don't head into retirement without a strategy that addresses both income and taxes. For more information, please contact Ryan Moore at Retirement Solutions Group at 615-467-6300 or visit rsgtn.com. Join us again soon for another episode of More Financial Talk. Keep more in your pocket.
Advisory services are offered by Retirement Solutions Group, Inc., an investment advisor. Insurance products and services are offered independently through Ryan Moore and Greg McGee, sole proprietors. All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.